Let's get back to the lectures. The last topic in chapter 3 on noise or artifact removal that I would like to deal with is adaptive filtering. Within this, we will only look at one type of adaptive filters, which is the least mean square filter. In the book, I also have details of the recursive least squares or RLS filter. But we will skip that part. The filters that we have seen so far, all of the filters that we have seen so far, the time domain filters, the frequency domain filters, the optimal Wiener filter, they're all fixed filters. The characteristics of the filters do not change with time. Filters with fixed transfer characteristics, transfer functions, tap weights, or coefficients are suitable when the signal and noise have characteristics that are stationary and are known. You need to know what is the nature of the signal and what is the nature of the noise. The Wiener filter requires models of the power spectral density. But such filters are not applicable when the characteristics of the signal and or noise may vary with time. If the power spectral density, the spectral characteristics, the statistics, the autocorrelation function, and so on, change with time, then a fixed filter will not do a good job. We have seen that most biomedical signals are non-stationary. So the filters we have seen so far are not well suited. They will do a good job, they will do a reasonable job under the assumptions made, but you may not get effective filtering when the input signals are non-stationary. A heart sound signal within one cardiac cycle is non-stationary. The nature of murmurs will be different from the nature of the first and second heart sound. So the spectral content of the signal and the interference will be varying. And if they overlap, if there is noise in the heart sound signal in the bandwidth from 0 to 1,000 hertz, you cannot do any low-pass filtering because the signal also has the same bandwidth. With the ECG, you can do some low-pass filtering because the bandwidth of the ECG is limited to about 70, 80 hertz or let's say 100 hertz. And beyond 100 hertz, there is nothing in the ECG, so you can apply a low-pass filter and remove most of the high-frequency noise. But if there is 60 hertz or 50 hertz power supply noise in the ECG, a low-pass filter will not remove it. You put a notch filter, but the notch filter will remove the components of the ECG signal also in that band. The 50 or 60 hertz artifact overlaps the ECG in spectral content. So by removing those frequency components, you are also affecting the signal quality. It is not significant, but you are removing information in the signal. So when the bandwidths of the signal and the noise overlap significantly, then such filtering will not work. With a notch filter, the overlap is not very much. It's only 1 or 2, 3 hertz if the notch is very small and sharp. Then removing such a small spectral band will not affect the ECG much. But in the case of the heart sound signal, it has a bandwidth from 0 to 1,000 hertz, let us say. And if noise also has the same bandwidth, then there is no way you can remove using the filters we have seen so far. So now the problem is design an optimal filter to remove a non-stationary interference from a non-stationary signal. Both are non-stationary. And we're not saying anything about the spectral content. They could very well overlap. But we will assume that an additional channel of information related to the interference is available for use. That is required. And the specification is that the filter should continuously adapt to the changing characteristics of the signal and interference. So under these conditions, it is possible to formulate a solution that is known as an adaptive filter. That's a requirement. The filter should be adaptive, so the tap weight vector, the coefficients of the filter, have to keep changing. They vary with time. So that leads to the notion of the adaptive filter or adaptive noise canceller. The filter should be optimal, and you need to formulate some criterion to minimize or maximize. And there are two algorithms available for this purpose. There are many, but the two popular ones are LMS for least mean square and RLS for recursive least squares. And we will look at only the LMS. The RLS is a bit more involved. The details are in the book. You could study that later if you wish. So let's look at the theory of the adaptive noise canceller. Here we have a primary input Xn, that is a mixture of the signal of interest Vn and the primary noise Mn. This notation is a bit awkward because usually we use M as an index, not as a name of a signal, but this is commonly used in adaptive noise cancellation literature. So we will use this notation. Xn is Vn plus Mn. Xn is the primary observed signal that you recorded that contains what you want, Vn, and something else, Mn, that you don't want. That's the artifact. It is desired that the interference or noise Mn be estimated and removed from Xn without stating any particular characteristics of that. The structure of the adaptive noise canceller is in this format. So the primary input is available, and there is an adaptive FIR filter. There is a reference input available that is related to the noise or interference, and that is not related to the signal of interest V. So you need to get one more input from somewhere that is somehow related to the artifact you want to cancel, the noise you want to cancel, and is not related to the signal that you want to keep. You take that input as the input to the adaptive FIR filter, whose coefficients vary with time. The filter gives some output, Yn. You subtract that from the primary input, and that is the output called En. It's a bit strange in this notation that the output of the filter, of the net filter here, which is the adaptive noise canceller output, is called En, which is treated as an error. The difference between the primary input and this filtered reference input, but that will tend to the desired signal V under certain conditions. So E is not exactly an error, it is the desired signal that comes out, but that is fed back and it is used to tune or modify the coefficients of the adaptive filter, applying certain conditions. So it's important to note that there is the primary input, which could be, for example, the noisy signal that you are observing, that you have recorded. And then there is a reference input. We'll come to that later on. There are two inputs here. The Wiener filter had one input. It is assumed that Vn and Mn are uncorrelated. That is, the artifact and the desired signal contained in the observed signal are uncorrelated. The adaptive noise canceller requires a second input that is called the reference input Rn, that is uncorrelated with the signal of interest V, but closely related to or correlated with the interference M. In some manner that we don't have to know that, but we assume that it represents that interference. Y is subtracted from the primary input to obtain the desired signal, that is called E, that is treated as an estimate of V. So V tilde, which the tilde represents an estimate, is En, that is equal to Xn minus Yn. And if Yn is equal to Mn, then the output is equal to V. It is assumed that the signal of interest V, the primary noise M, the reference input R, and the primary noise estimate Y are stationary and have zero means, but we will later on remove that. The requirement of stationarity will be removed when we take the expectation operators later. And you compute that in moving windows and adapt the filter. If they don't have zero mean, you subtract the mean and you can add that as a bias later. It is assumed also that Vn is uncorrelated with M and R. That is, the desired signal that is present in the observed signal is not correlated with the noise M or interference, and it is not correlated with the reference R that is obtained from somewhere. It is assumed that R is correlated with M. Then En is Xn minus Yn. X is V plus M minus Y. And Y is an estimate of M. So we'll call it M tilde. That is the estimate of the primary noise. So you estimate the noise from the given reference. The general idea is this. In a classroom situation, I use this example, not to offend anybody here. This class has been very nice and quiet and attentive. But in first year engineering classes that I have taught with 150 or 250 students, there will always be a few students making noise at the back, usually at the back. At the front, they don't disturb much. So what I say is, the disturbance that comes from the students at the back is affecting my speech and my lecture. So I would like to somehow cancel that and project a signal that is my signal only. And one way of doing that is to record my speech here, which is my signal, or let me turn it around and say, suppose a student there is bothered by the noise from somewhere in the back of the class and wants to get a good copy, is record my speech from here, which contains my real signal plus the interference coming from somewhere else. To cancel that interference, what you could do is put another microphone at the back where the other disturbance is coming from and feed that as the reference R. Take my signal that contains the contaminated version and the other signal. You could record the desired signal either here or there and then subtract the noise that you recorded from the source. The problem will be that the noise that comes here or to you from the source is not equal to the noise as generated at the source. There is some effect of the entire classroom and the walls and so on, reflection and reverberation. You cannot subtract it directly. You need to modify it. And that is what the adaptive filter does. So instead of recording just my speech, you record my speech and the noise somewhere. But the noise that is contained in my signal has been affected in some manner. So you cannot subtract directly. You modify the reference and then subtract. And then hopefully you will cancel the interference and get my speech only. So that is the general idea here. It is also the system that is used in the noise-canceling headphones. There are many companies that make these headphones now that record the ambient noise and cancel that. So you get silence. So you remove the noise completely, and what you have with the headphones is something that feeds a modified version of the noise, the ambient noise, and cancels it out, giving essentially reduced or zero output. Of course, you don't get zero. You get diminished noise. And these are noise-canceling headphones that are worn in noisy work environments or that are now being sold so you can wear them when you are traveling in a plane or in a noisy bus. So So that's the general idea. So here, let's see how to optimize it. You take the expectation of E square, and that is expectation of V square plus M minus Y square. We'll drop the index N. Plus 2 times Vn multiplied with M minus Y. So that is from the previous expression. This quantity, square this, treat it as this plus that. So this square plus that square, but and 2 times this multiplied with that. That's what you have here. First term square, the second and third squared, and the product of the two. Because V is uncorrelated with M and Y, and all of them have zero means, that's the assumption made, then the expectation of V times M minus Y is expectation of this separated and the expectation of that multiply. And if the means are zero, then that is cancelled out. So this last term, 2 times expectation of that, goes away. So expectation of E squared is expectation of V squared plus expectation of M minus Y whole squared. The output E is used to control the adaptive filter and modify its coefficients. In adaptive noise cancellation, the objective is to get an output E that is a least squares fit to the desired signal V. And this is achieved by feeding the output back to the adaptive filter, and you adjust the coefficients of the filter to minimize the total system output power. It's a bit strange here. You're minimizing the output power. But that doesn't mean you want zero output. Under the conditions, when you minimize it, what you get is the desired signal. So the system output serves as the error signal for the adaptive process. So it is called an error signal for the adaptive process, but when the output is equal to the desired signal, then it is minimized. The signal power expectation V squared is unaffected as the filter is adjusted, because that is independent. To minimize expectation of E squared, the minimum output power, because what you are varying is, I need to go back to the figure. Let me get that figure here. This quantity, and what you are doing is trying to make Yn equal to Mn, and you are subtracting that. And in this process, the minimization of the output power, or expectation of the mean squared value now, that does not affect Vn. The expectation of V squared is not affected by this process. Just a minute. That's not where I was. One moment, please. Okay. So the power expectation of V squared, this is the mean squared value. Mean squared value is the power of the signal. And that is unaffected as the signal is, the filter is adjusted to minimize expectation of E squared. And the minimum output power is obtained in this manner. Minimize expectation of E squared, which is equal to expectation V squared, plus this is what is being minimized. And that is minimal when M is equal to Y, or Y is equal to M. And then E will be equal to V. That is the setup of the filter. As the filter is adjusted so that expectation of E squared is minimized, it is this quantity that is minimized, and this quantity is unaffected. So you want to pass the desired signal and make Y equal to M and make that zero. So the filter output Y is the minimum mean squared error estimate of the primary noise M. So the adaptive filter is estimating the artifact or the noise from the reference. When this quantity, expectation of M minus Y squared, is minimized, expectation of E minus V is also minimized, because E minus V is equal to M minus Y. So what is minimized? When this goes to zero, this will also go to zero, which means the output E will be equal to the desired signal V. So that's another view of the same situation. So adapting the filter to minimize the total output power, you're not maximizing the power, but minimizing, is equivalent to causing the output En to be the minimum mean squared error estimate of the signal of interest V for the given structural and adjustability and so on, and for the given reference. So you have to provide an appropriate reference, otherwise the whole thing will not work. And this is the same, the minimum mean squared error, the setup is the same as in the Wiener filter, except now the coefficients are not fixed, they keep changing. Now, if the minimization is not perfect, you will not get zero, but the M minus Y is not zero, but output En will contain V and some noise. The output noise is E minus V, that is V tilde minus V, that is equal to M minus Y. Minimizing expectation of E square then will minimize this expectation of M minus Y square. Therefore, minimizing total output power minimizes the output noise power. The signal is unaffected. So when you say minimize the total output power, it is only the noise that is being minimized. And that is because the signal component V in the output remains unaffected, and minimizing total output power actually maximizes the signal-to-noise ratio. V square, expectation of V square is not affected by this process. So, output power is minimum when expectation of E square is equal to expectation of V square. And the second term, that is zero. Then you have Y equal to M and E equal to V. Output is a perfect and noise-free estimate of the desired signal. So how do you do that? Optimization of the filter may be performed by expressing the error in terms of the coefficients. That's what we did in the Wiener filter. And applying some procedure to do the optimization. So as in the Wiener filter, there is a convolution. Yn is Wk times Rn minus k. That is simply the convolution where Wk are the tap weights. M is the order of the filter. The output is that, x minus y. Now, define the tap weight vector as a function of time, Wn. We want this to be adaptive. So there are m coefficients, W0, W1, so on, Wm minus 1, with the index n, which is time. So just as the Wiener filter, but as a function of time. The tap weight, the tap input vector at each instant of time is Rn. This is the input to the adaptive filter. That is the reference. And there are m values of this that enter the convolution, and you write that as a vector. This we did already for the Wiener filter, exactly like this. We called it xn, here it is Rn. The m samples are now in a vector. Then the error is, as before, you take the dot product of these two, W transpose R, but they are now functions of n. Let me pull that up. So En is xn minus W transpose n times Rn. And W and R are vectors now, m by 1. Okay? Now, that is just the setup of the problem. It's not, there is no optimization yet. Let me go back there. Yeah. This is simply the error, and you want to minimize it. How do you minimize that is up to you. That's the next step. This is simply the formulation of the adaptive filter that says the input X has the desired signal plus some noise, And there is a reference R that you can get from somewhere that is related to the noise. You want to subtract that, but you want to filter before subtracting to make sure that the reference R will become as close to the actual interference present in the signal XX that you observed. So you filter the reference and subtract. So that is the formulation, and this is the function to be minimized. Now, how you minimize is the next question, and there are two popular methods. You can apply different techniques of optimization to minimize the squared expectation value of that, the mean squared value of that quantity E. The least mean squares adaptive filter says adjust the tap weight vector to minimize the mean squared error and square that quantity. E squared is x squared minus 2xn r transpose wn plus w transpose r transpose w. So this is w transpose r multiplied with its transpose. So that is the squared error at the time instant n. The squared error is a second order or quadratic function of the tap weight vector as we saw in the Wiener filter and may be depicted as a concave hyperparaboloidal bowl-like surface. And you want to go to the bottom of that to find the point of the of that expression and take the derivative with respect to the tap weight vector. We did all of that for the Wiener filter. You do exactly the same thing and we can get a Wiener hop filter for the adaptive noise canceller. If you wish, that is possible. The LMS algorithm takes a simpler approach, assuming the square of the instantaneous error to stand for the estimate of the mean squared error. You just take the square of that sample and then proceed with the rest of the steps. The LMS algorithm is based on the method of steepest descent. The new tap weight vector, Wn plus 1, assume that you have Wn, or you have initialized the filter, and you want to get the next tap weight vector for the next time instant, and you take that as the present tap weight vector Wn, whatever it is at this time, plus a correction that is proportional to the negative gradient nabla n of the squared error. So Wn plus 1 is Wn minus mu, the proportionality factor or some sort of a factor there, times the gradient. So you need to calculate that gradient. The factor mu affects convergence and it controls the stability. How fast do you want to change the filter coefficients? You don't want the filter to change too rapidly, then it'll be unstable. You want it to change slowly and adapt, but remain within a certain zone of variation. So the larger the value of mu, the larger is the gradient of the error in moving towards the optimal filter, and faster is the convergence. The LMS algorithm approximates this gradient by the derivative of the squared error in the equation we wrote earlier with respect to the tap weight. So you take the derivative, and what you get is minus 2xn rn plus 2w transpose r times r, which is minus 2en rn. This is what the LMS filter does. There are other filters that take other approaches. Here, the procedure is simplified quite a bit. Instead of using the Wiener-Hopf filter, a simpler approach is taken. So this is an approximation. And it now reduces the factor to just 2enrn. So put that in the other expression we saw to get the updated coefficients. Wn plus 1 is Wn plus 2 mu er. They're all functions of time, except mu. Mu is simply a parameter that you adjust or specify depending upon how fast the signal characteristics are changing and how fast you want the filter to adapt to the changing conditions of the input. So depending upon your specification, the filter's behavior will be affected. But the input reference R is here, and that is being filtered, and the coefficients are being adjusted in accordance with this quantity. E is being fed back to the filter. So this is known as the Widrow-Hof LMS algorithm. The advantages of the LMS algorithm are simplicity and ease of implementation, having made the assumptions that you can substitute the gradient of the error using just the derivative gradient of the mean squared error. The mean squared error was reduced to just square of the instantaneous error. And with these assumptions, the filter is fairly simple. It can be easily implemented, the structure as you saw. And although the method is based on the mean squared error and gradient-based optimization, the filter expression itself is free of differentiation, squaring, or averaging. The filter has no statistical parameter related to any of the signals. The values, the signal values enter directly. Here, R, the reference, E is the output, and of course, X, the input has gone at the other end. So that's all. There is nothing else. You initialize WN to something, and the filter learns, and in a few samples will converge, and then will vary sample to sample, time to time, depending upon how the input signal and the reference signal vary. So the filter adapts to the changing characteristics. Large change in the input, the filter will and then reach a different state. And when there is another change, the filter will change again. There are possibilities. Typically, one would give some value for mu based upon experimental evidence. You try different values and say, this works well for me under these conditions and for such and such signals. We did something that I'll show now for the cancellation of the muscle interference from the knee joint signal, where we made mu a function of time. So to cancel muscle contraction interference from the VAG or the knee signal, the first stage was to remove measurement noise, and the second stage was to cancel the muscle signal. The optimization of step size mu was done using an RMS error-based misadjustment factor and a time-varying estimate of the input signal power. So you have to have some parameters as to how do you specify mu, and the expression we used in our work to cancel the muscle interference was this is what we had earlier, but mu is now a function of time. And that is determined as there is another factor, mu, that is modified. So you have to give some starting value and then it is updated. And here you have this, an average of x squared n, which is a time-varying function of another factor alpha, R, and the previous estimate of that same mean squared value of the input. It's the average power of the input. So this was expressed as alpha R squared N and 1 minus alpha of the mean squared power of the signal at the previous sample. And this is a forgetting factor. And that again needs to be determined. So it's hard to escape the parameters in tuning the filter. You still need to specify some value for mu, which is modified later in this format. But then you end up with yet another parameter, alpha, that you need to specify as to how do you estimate the mean squared value of this quantity x squared. And that is a combination of r and x, because you need to build the reference into this. So it's a weighted combination of the two. So using this, we were able to get a better behavior of the LMS filter to cancel the muscle interference from the knee signal. So here is an example. Yesterday I showed you an illustration that's in figure 311. If you want to refer to your book. In figure 3.11, I showed yesterday the muscle interference that was present, and here we have, let me see which is which. LMS filtered versions of the, okay, these are both filtered versions. You'll have to refer to the others, figure 3.11, to see the original. There was a significant amount of artifact in the second half, the almost sinusoidal wave in figure 3.11. So these are traces B and C. Let me go back there. 3.11. Still a lot. More. There. Okay. These are the signals, the knee joint signals, where this is the artifact. Low frequency artifact from the muscle, and these are the signals from the muscle itself. This is obtained using isometric contraction. So I'm not showing the exact muscle signal that was used to cancel. The muscle signal looks like this. And in the knee signal, this is the recorded knee signal, and this is the interference that is present. And a reference was obtained from the rectus femoris muscle that would look something like this. I don't have a plot of that here. I should have given that. So let me go back to the output now. Sorry for flashing back and forth here. The artifact here has been cancelled. Okay? But of course, for this, you need the muscle signal recorded from another location, and that needs to be fed into your adaptive filter. There is also the possibility of using the RLS algorithm, but we will skip this part. It is fairly involved, and it has several pages of derivation that, if you wish, you could read in the book later. But it's an advanced topic, and I think we can skip that. To have a little bit of discussion on the various types of filters that we have seen so far, where can you use one filter or another? Which is the most suitable filter? So to select an appropriate filter, we need to consider where each filter will do the best and where it is not suitable. We started with synchronized or ensemble averaging, and that is possible if the signal is statistically stationary, it is quasi-periodic or cyclostationary, and multiple realizations of the signal are available. A trigger point or time marker is available because you have to synchronize and align them before averaging. Otherwise, you cannot do that. The noise is stationary random process, and it is uncorrelated with the signal and has a zero mean so that when averaged, it will cancel out. Under those conditions, you can use synchronized averaging or ensemble averaging. And these are satisfied, or these conditions are met in experiments such as event-related potentials. That's the best situation. But I'll give you some examples, some other possibilities later. Temporal moving average filter is suitable when the signal is statistically stationary, at least over the duration of the moving window. It is short time processing. So within that time frame, it should be stationary. And then the noise is zero mean random process that is stationary, at least again over the duration of the moving window, and is independent of the signal. And the signal is slowly moving, slowly changing, so that within the window, you don't have rapid changes of the signal that will get averaged or smoothed. And it is suitable for online real-time filtering. And if that is desired, then you can go for temporal moving average filtering. You can do fixed frequency domain filtering using the FFT when the signal is statistically stationary, the noise is stationary and statistically independent, the signal spectrum is limited in bandwidth compared to that of noise, or they occupy different bands. So in a certain band there is more noise and less signal, and in another band there is more signal and less noise. Then you can do this. The loss of information in the spectral band removed by the filter does not affect the signal seriously. So if you apply a low-pass filter to the ECG signal to remove noise and you have a cutoff of, let's say, 80 hertz, you're assuming that the ECG signal has not much energy beyond 80 hertz, which is reasonably true. Online real-time filtering is not required so that you can take the signal and save it in your MATLAB program, filter it, take the FFT and whatnot. It'll take a few seconds maybe, or milliseconds, depends upon how you use it. But it is not online or real-time. The optimal Wiener filter can be designed if you have another set of requirements, and here the signal is statistically stationary, wide sense stationary, second order. The noise is stationary random process that is independent of the signal, and specific details or models are available regarding the autocorrelation function or the pass spectral density of the signal and noise. If these can be met, then you can design a Wiener filter. Note that stationarity is assumed. Now, the last situation we saw is adaptive filtering, which is more sophisticated and is called for or required when the noise or interference is not stationary and not necessarily a random process. The muscle signal is not a completely random process. It is a varying signal, yes. It depends upon some other activity. It's not a white noise process. It has some information related to another physiological process. The noise is uncorrelated with the signal. The muscle contraction is not related to the knee signal. No information is available about the spectral characteristics of the signal and noise. You cannot have particular bands, and these bands may overlap significantly. The knee sound has low frequency components, and the muscle signal also has low frequency components. So we're not doing any band pass or low pass filter. A second source or recording site is available. You have an understanding as to what is the artifact, where is the artifact coming from. And then you can go there and put a transducer and get an estimate of that. If not, you cannot do adaptive noise canceling. So you need to identify the source of the artifact and put a transducer there and get a measurement, and then control the adaptive filter to estimate the real artifact present and cancel it out. If you can do that, then adaptive filtering is possible. Now, an adaptive filter can do all of the above. An interesting thing is it is trying to change it, but if there is no change in the input, then fine, it'll just do whatever is required. The same notion. You can have multi-stage adaptive noise cancellation filters where first you remove the instrumentation artifact, then you remove the ambient artifact, and then you remove the physiological artifacts. Or you can combine them. All of the filters mentioned are applicable only when the noise is additive. All of the filters we have seen have made that assumption. If the noise is somehow multiplied, you don't get division, but you get multiplication sometimes. You get convolution sometimes. Then you cannot do any of these. There is another concept known as homomorphic filtering, where if you have two signals that have been combined in a manner other than addition, convolution or multiplication or whatever else. The notion is have a pre-processing step and convert that operation, whatever it is, to addition. And then do the same thing as before. And then finally you can go back and make the inverse transformations and go to the original relationship. I don't believe we will have enough time to do homomorphic filtering. I do have some details of homomorphic filtering in another chapter, in chapter 4. I'll skip that when we get to the point. And at the end tomorrow, if there is time, I'll go back to homomorphic filtering. So let me show you an application, removal of artifacts in the ECG. This is related to an assignment, a lab example we'll be giving, where you will have a similar ECG signal and you will be asked to design filters to remove all of these artifacts. So what you see is similar to what you'll be designing, but there could be some minor modifications in your answer. So we are considering a signal that has a combination of baseline drift, high frequency noise, and power line interference that I showed earlier in figure 3.8. And the problem is to design filters to remove all of these artifacts. We have seen these separately. We saw how to remove low frequency artifact. We saw how to remove high frequency artifact or noise, and we saw how to remove power line artifact. But we did them one at a time. And here there is no reference available. There is just the ECG signal given to you. So what you do is put the high pass, low pass, and comb filters in series or cascade. And you can do that, and you can put them in any order. It doesn't matter because the net transfer function is the product of the transfer function H1, H2, H3 of Z or omega, as you wish to use. But if you put them in a certain sequence, you can see the effect of each filter. So here is the original ECG. There is a little bit of drift there in the baseline. And after low-pass filter, the high-frequency noise has been removed, not completely removed, but reduced. There is still power line artifact, this, and there is still the baseline drift. Then you apply the, I applied the high pass filter and removed the baseline drift. It is now leveled. But note that there is this artifact that is not present here. After the T wave, there is a negative deflection. This is the art produced by the filter. That's the best design I could do so far. There are other designs. If you want to try other cutoff points, other designs of the high-pass filter, you could try and see if you can minimize this. Then I applied the comb filter. You can see the artifact still there, and that has been reduced. The power line and harmonics have been removed. Of course, you could put these in different orders if you wish. Shuffle the code in your MATLAB program and check. The net result will be the same, but you can observe the effect of each filter separately. This is the power spectral density of the original signal. There is 60 hertz component, and there is 180 and 300 and some other aliased components, but they are all fairly low at about minus 20 dB compared to the DC level, or low frequency level. The transfer function of the three filters combined is a bandpass filter with notches. This is a comb filter. It's a low-pass filter, and there is a high-pass portion here. It goes to zero. It's not very clearly seen. If you zoom, you will see there. So there is a high-pass component. So it's a band-pass filter with a comb included. This is the spectrum of the filtered signal, the final result, where high-frequency artifact has been reduced significantly. I changed the scale. I should have maintained the same. So you cannot compare directly. In your plots, I suggest you maintain the same scale so you can compare them directly. I thought I had taken care of that, but I haven't. And these are the results. You could plot in a format comparable to this or some other format that you like. in your outputs. This is to say something that I have not followed in this example. In your MATLAB outputs, please calibrate the x-axis, the time axis, or the frequency axis. The amplitude axis is not calibrated. If you're not given the calibration for the signal values, you can mark them as arbitrary units. You should mark them as arbitrary units. You should show the time scale always, except in this case I removed, but I'm saying here the total duration is 10.7 seconds, or you can put a bar and say this is 1 second. I removed this because otherwise it will look very cluttered. But here I have shown, you must show the axis in hertz, and in the case of spectral densities or transfer functions, show the values in dB. The classic example of adaptive filtering is cancellation of the maternal ECG from the fetal ECG. I showed you earlier the mixture of the maternal and fetal ECGs as observed on the abdomen of a pregnant woman. And this example is from the classic paper by Widrow et al., who proposed the adaptive filter first in 1976 or 77. I'll show you the reference later. So the problem was propose an adaptive noise cancellation filter to remove the maternal ECG from the abdominal lead ECG that I showed earlier and obtain the fetal ECG that is buried in that signal. As I mentioned earlier, from the abdomen, if you record the ECG, you expect the fetus, the ECG of the fetus to show there, but the ECG of the mother, the heart is fairly close there, is also transmitted and added there. So what Widrow and others did is to record the maternal ECG from limb leads, from multiple limb leads, and feed them to adaptive filters and subtract the modified limb lead ECG from the abdominal ECG. Because the maternal abdominal ECG, or the maternal ECG that appears on the abdominal lead, is not equal to any of the limb leads because the projection is different. So you cannot directly subtract a limb lead ECG from the abdominal ECG. You need to modify it, and that modification is done by the adaptive filter. So Widrow and others proposed multiple reference adaptive noise cancellation system to remove the maternal ECG and obtain the fetal ECG. The combined ECG was obtained from a single abdominal lead, and maternal ECG was obtained from 4 chest leads. I said use 4 chest. That's the relation. Now the other signal is in figure 3.9. I didn't put them all together. And the maternal ECG has been suppressed. This is from 1975. And the fetal ECG is now stronger. Yeah?
What was then the most important athlete where this was used? Do they check that these is like the easiest way for just a line?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if they were checking the waveform, perhaps only the heart rate. It's not. I haven't seen, this one doesn't say, this paper doesn't say what they use this for, but it gives you the waveform to a certain extent. You cannot see the P and the T waves, but you can see the QRS. And it's a bit difficult to analyze the QRS not knowing which way it is projected. As I mentioned earlier, if you want to analyze the QRS wave shape, you have to use all the 12 leads. Here there's only one lead. And of course the position of the fetus is not known, so you do not know how this QRS is being projected. That shape may be normal in one lead, but not in another. As you go around the chest, this would be something like V2. Somewhere here, V2, V3, you will get an ECG that is biphasic with equal positive and negative. But if you get that here it is supposed to be mainly triphasic and positive because you are very close to the left ventricle. But if you get something like this with V6, then that is not right. So I don't know if you can do much morphological analysis with a signal like this. Morphological meaning analysis of the shape of the ECG. But heart rate monitoring could be done. But fetal distress is quite often indicated by heart rate, changes in the heart rate. So in fetal monitoring, perhaps heart rate is adequate. Okay, so that's a classic example, but now there are new signal processing techniques. In 1975, this was a major development in filtering theory. That's almost 33 years ago. But now you have new techniques known as blind source separation and independent component analysis, where you still need multiple channels. The assumption is that the abdominal ECG is a mixture of the maternal ECG and the fetal ECG. There are only two sources, two hearts there. Unless there is a multiple pregnancy situation, then there could be more hearts in the multiple fetuses. But let's not assume that. So assuming that there are two hearts there, there are two sources, and they are combining somehow. You don't know how they are combined. But in blind source separation, the matrix of mixing coefficients is estimated given some knowledge and multiple recordings of the mixed signals. So you have to obtain the mixed signals from multiple sources. Then you can estimate the mixing coefficients and then separate them. So that is the latest. And one of my collaborators, Dr. Nandi, at the University of Liverpool, has published a paper recently in the IEEE Transactions on Biomedical Engineering. Just over the last 2 years, I'm not sure if it is 2006 or 2005. So if you want to look into that, it's called Blind Source Separation, or BSS, and search for BSS and it's an interesting subject. So look for blind source separation, or BSS, and fetal ECG. And his name is Nandi. And you should be able to find that if you are interested in